We are in Tezvav Amid Aleph. We're going to start 2, 4, 6 lines to the bottom of the page of Tezvav Amid Aleph. Not yet. The Gemara was discussing this concept of everybody agrees that Lava Nitakla say that a negative mitzvah which is followed by a positive mitzvah, you don't get whipped. Because the negative mitzvah rectifies the positive mitzvah. Rabbi Yechonon came along with a statement before that if it's a positive mitzvah followed by a negative mitzvah, you do get malchus. So the Gemara asked the question about a kohen with this whole thing about the rapist. And another kohen, we say the rapist, if he doesn't get malchus, unless if he's a kohen where he can't remarry her. So over there you see that you don't get malchus. Okay, and the Gemara went through a whole page trying to answer Rabbi Yechonon's din. Because Rabbi Yechonon said a statement, if the positive mitzvah is first, then the negative mitzvah, you do get malchus. Yet the Gemara asked the question before, why by the case of the rapist, where it's a positive mitzvah, followed by a negative mitzvah, you don't get malchus if Rabbi Yechonon says you should get malchus. And the Gemara answered a lot of different answers. Rava answers a different answer. Right. Now, over there, the Torah says, you have to marry her, you're not allowed to divorce her. So first is the positive mitzvah, then, here, take this Gemara, that's his. You want to open it, Beryl?
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the rapist, the Torah says, first you have to marry her, you're not allowed to divorce her. There's more Gemaras here, by the way. Okay. So over there, first is a positive mitzvah, then you have a negative mitzvah. Yet the Gemara says he doesn't get malchus. So the Gemara is going to answer now a new answer. Amr Ela Merav Rav said as follows. Kol yamo ba'amoyed v'harzed. His whole life, he has an obligation to remarry her anyway. In other words, Rav is answering a very interesting answer. The Torah says as follows, by the rapist. Marry her, don't divorce her all your days. The Torah says, all your days. So the Gemara is learning, all your days is a positive mitzvah. So even the negative mitzvah of not divorcing her is followed by a positive mitzvah, all your days, meaning all your days you have a mitzvah to remarry her. So it's not a case of a positive mitzvah followed by a negative mitzvah. It's a case of a positive mitzvah, negative mitzvah, followed by a positive mitzvah. And that's why you don't get malchus. V'chein ki osir Rabin Amar Rabbi Yechonon. And the same thing Rabin, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, kol yamav v'amod v'hachzer. Your whole life, you have a mitzvah of remarrying the girl. So therefore, the Gemara learns as follows. When the Torah says, kol yamav, all your days, kol yamav, all your days means, you have a mitzvah that you must remarry her if you divorced her. What? All the way at the bottom, yeah. We're starting now 5 lines in the bottom of the page. What? If she doesn't want, he still probably will get malchus. I don't know what the halacha would be if she says, I don't want to stay married to this guy. Yeah. Right. The money has to pay, that's a separate issue. But the question is, if she wants or doesn't want. Okay, let's see. Let's not get to the Gemara about Malchus. I don't know. So, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava. So, Rav Papa asked the question to Rav as follows. V'halei dam yelolav d'chsima. This is not similar to the concept of muzzling. In other words, the source, and by the way, the next piece of Gemara is a major Gemara, so to speak, in throughout Shas. It's a very important gemara of understanding basic concepts of negative mitzvahs and positive mitzvahs, and you know the connection between negative and positive and negative, the whole thing. How do you know for a negative mitzvah you get malchus? First, the Torah says don't eat chazer. The Torah doesn't say if you do you're going to get malchus. Yet we know on avedis that are negative avedis, and you do them, you get malchus. Where do we learn it out from? So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk of Leisachsim Sher Bedishay. There's a din we read recently in Chumash. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal when he's eating, when he's working. When an animal is plowing or working in a field, you have to let the animal eat. You're not allowed to muzzle it. And over there, for whatever reason, we learn out that you get malchus. So the Gemara says, we learn out from the lav of what's called chasima, of Leisachsim Sher Bedishay, that anytime you do a negative mitzvah, you transgress a negative aveda, you get malchus. But the Gemara is asking over here, but this is not similar to that. Why? Because the lav of chasima doesn't have any positive mitzvah connected to it. In other words, the Gemara is asking a very simple question. If somebody transgressed a positive mitzvah that was followed by somebody did a negative mitzvah that was preceded by a positive mitzvah. Okay? The Gemara said you get malchus. That's what Rabbi Yechon said before in the Gemara, you get malchus. If the negative mitzvah follows the positive mitzvah, then you don't. But if first there's a positive mitzvah, like in this case, marry her, don't divorce her. Okay, or a similar case, the halach is you'd get malchus. The Gemara is asking, but this is not similar to the source of the whole concept of getting malchus. Because the pasuk that we learn out, that any negative mitzvah you do, you get malchus, does not have any positive mitzvah connected to it at all. So maybe any aveda that's connected with the positive mitzvah, before or after, doesn't matter, maybe you don't get malchus. That's the Gemara's question. Now, Papa said to Rava, Halav Leidami, this prohibition, meaning, when there's a positive mitzvah first, followed by a negative mitzvah, Rabbi Yechon had said before in the Gemara, you get malchus. This is not at all similar to the muzzling story. Why? Because there's no positive mitzvah connected to it. Amalei, so he says, Mishum dekase beirachamana asa yaseda. Because the Torah adds a positive mitzvah, makes it worse. The Gemara says a very simple answer. A negative mitzvah, you get malchus. So you want to ask me, maybe if it's a mitzvah connected to a positive mitzvah, you wouldn't? Why? That makes it worse. It makes it better, makes it worse. Why should the positive mitzvah change the negative mitzvah? You did a negative mitzvah, you did an aveda, you get whipped. So what's the difference if there's a positive mitzvah connected to it or not? So right away the Gemara is going to ask, so why if there's an essay following the lav, you don't get malchus? Why over there don't you get malchus? See, the Gemara says, lav shenitik la'asei, nami lema, because the Gemara writes an essay, you say the migra gar makes it worse. Amar leisur, Rava answered him, ahulin tuki lavodas, that is to undo the negative commandment. Meaning as follows, it's a very simple Gemara, but it's a very basic Gemara. Now the Gemara is going into a more basic aspect of this. The Torah says, you transgress a negative mitzvah, you get malchus.
Is this
me? No. For Galitiana.
No. I know Garish.
Ungarish, yeah. The Gemara says as follows. A negative mitzvah, you get malchus. Where do we learn it out from? From a pasuk that says, don't muzzle an animal when it's working. Okay, when it's what?
It's in the same passage.
No, well, the Gemara said before, in your base, I'm in base, the Gemara said, how do we learn it out from? The Gemara went into this whole thing about The source of it, 1 second. The Gemara said before, you're right. The Gemara said before, next to the parsha of getting Malkus, about 39 lashes, the Torah says, don't muzzle an animal. Okay? That is the source that any negative mitzvah in the Torah, you get Malkus. Okay? So that's a statement. So then the Gemara asks a question. We said there's a difference. If the positive mitzvah comes before the negative mitzvah, then you would get Malkus. And if the negative mitzvah comes before the positive mitzvah, you don't get Malkus. For instance, the Torah says, don't steal, return the stolen object. First comes a negative mitzvah, don't steal. And then there's a positive mitzvah, don't give back what you stole. Same thing, the Torah says, Shaleach leisikach ha'im al habanim. You know, if you found the chicken sitting on the nest and you want the eggs, so the Torah says, leisikach ha'im al habanim. You're not allowed to take the mother, the kids when the mother is sitting there. Shaleach teshaleach ha'im, you have to send away the mother. So it's a negative mitzvah, don't take the eggs. Then the Torah says, a positive mitzvah, send away the mother. Okay? So then, the halacha is, the fact, and the way the Gemara is explaining it now is very logical, the fact that the Torah gave you an opportunity through the positive mitzvah to rectify the negative mitzvah, you don't get whipped on the negative mitzvah. But if the positive mitzvah comes first, like in our case, even though the Gemara said there's an extra word, but let's take the case as it was before. A guy rapes a woman, the Torah says, you must marry her. Don't divorce her. So over there, the positive mitzvah comes first, marry the woman. Then the Torah says, you're not allowed to divorce her. So the positive mitzvah is not rectifying the negative mitzvah, because it comes first. The Torah says, you must marry her. Don't divorce her. So for there, Rabbi Yechanan says, not by that particular case, because there's an extra pasuk at the end, we just learned, but in such a case, the din would be, according to Rabbi Yechanan, you would get Malkus. If he divorces. Because he transgressed the negative commandment.
Rabbi,
one second. We're in the middle. Huh? The get would be valid. One thing is, he did an Aveda, right? But it's done. Okay? So, the Gemara explains, the Gemara's question was, it's not similar to the lav of chasima, of muzzling. Because over there's no positive mitzvah attached to it. So how could you learn out that if there's a positive mitzvah preceding the negative mitzvah, you would get Malkus, it's not similar to chasima. It's not similar to the source of all negative mitzvahs where you get Malkus. So the Gemara says, because there's a positive mitzvah, makes it worse. Because there's a positive mitzvah, makes it worse. So the Gemara says, so why by the negative mitzvah, followed by a positive mitzvah, don't you get Malkus? So the Gemara says, over there, the positive mitzvah is rectifying the negative mitzvah. Here, the positive mitzvah is not rectifying the negative mitzvah because the Torah said it first. Marry her, don't divorce her. So that comes first. So the Gemara says, the truth is, we learn it out from the muzzling law. The fact there's a positive mitzvah attached to it beforehand does not make it worse. But when there's a positive mitzvah following the negative mitzvah, where the positive mitzvah rectifies the negative mitzvah, then it's good. What?
Rabbi, there isn't a man or a woman who was raped that would then go marry the guy that raped her. Come on, Rabbi.
We discussed this a few weeks ago when you weren't here. That in the olden times, a woman who was raped was blemished for life, and therefore she would agree to marry the rapist.
Hard to believe.
Okay. But that was done in the olden times. Before we start the next piece of Gemara, I have to give an introduction to the next piece of Gemara. There is, we just learned in the Gemara, a lav, which is followed by a positive mitzvah. I'll give you an example. The Torah says, don't steal. give back the stolen article. Don't take the mother bird fixed by the negative, by the positive mitzvah, send away the mother bird. What happens if the guy was told, send away the mother bird, and he didn't? Or let's take another case. What happens if the guy killed the mother bird? Now there's no way he can rectify the negative commandment by sending away the mother bird. There is no mother bird anymore to send away. Right? Let's say the guy stole something and he destroyed the object he stole. Okay, so technically you have to pay back cash, but let's leave that aspect out of it. The guy stole an article. He stole a bottle of water. So the Torah says, give back the bottle of water. He says, no, I'm not giving it back. Do you whip him then? Or the fact is, he still has an opportunity to give it back. The only time he couldn't give it back is if he destroyed the bottle of water. So what gets him to get Malkus? Meaning as follows. Alava nitak la'asei, a positive mitzvah, following a negative mitzvah, you don't get Malkus. Forever not? Or, if you don't listen to Bezin right away. A guy steals, Bezin says to the guy, listen, we're not giving you Malkus because you have an opportunity to give him back what you stole, give it back. Yeah, he still has the object, let's say. He still has the object. He says, no, I'm not giving it back. Does he get Malkus right then and there or not? One opinion in the Gemara that we're learning now says, if he has the opportunity given by Bezdin to give back the object, and he doesn't, he's going to get Malkus right away. No, he's not giving it back. He says, I'm not giving it back. I'm not sending away the mother bird. I'm not sending it away. So one opinion, the Gemara says, he's going to get Malkus right now. Because he's not fulfilling the positive mitzvah. Another opinion says, no. As long as he's still physically able to give it back, you can't give him Malkus yet. When would he get Malkus? If he killed the mother bird. He destroyed what he stole, where he's not able to give it back. That's when he would get Malkus.
Can't Bezdin force him to get back?
He says, I'm not doing it.
But can't they give Malkus to force him?
No, they don't. What?
I have an interesting question on that matter. The man is poor, starving, and hungry, and he goes by the market and he steals a bottle of water.
Still not allowed to steal.
Right. Then he drinks the water. Then what happened? What can you do to the guy? Say you caught him, but he consumed the bottle of water.
Make
no
him
more
pay
water.
Back the water. The value of the water.
Oh, pay him. Okay, that's good.
So there's going to be an argument now in the Gemara. What is this concept that the positive mitzvah saves you from Malkus? For how long does it save you from Malkus? Forever, unless if you destroyed the physical ability of giving it back, of doing the positive mitzvah? Or do you get it right away? You stole, Bezin's not going to whip you. But if Bezin says, give it back, and you say no, does Bezin whip you right away? Because you're not keeping the positive mitzvah. The Torah is giving you an opportunity to fix what you did, by doing the positive mitzvah. You say, I'm not interested. I'm not giving it back. Does he get Malkus right away? That's one opinion in the Gemara. And the other opinion in the Gemara says, no. He technically can still give it back. Not today, next week, in a month, in a year. He can still give it back. You can't whip him for that, because he still has the opportunity of doing the mitzvah. When will he get whipped? If he destroys the ability to give it back. Then he's going to get whipped. Because he can't do the positive mitzvah anymore. If he can't do the positive mitzvah, you're going to get whipped.
It's a malka.
whipped lashes. What?
Jonathan, speak up, please.
You can still give it back. You might have to pay additional money, but you can still give it back. You have to still have deposit the mitzvah still to give back the object you stole. You have to give back the Palm Pilot with all the stuff in it. If he erased everything, you would have to pay back a Palm Pilot. Plus, how much it would cost to get all the information back? Maybe. Maybe. Okay, so now the Gemara asks the question. Two words from the second to the last line. Hey, Nicha Lamandi Yamar. This is only good that we said before what Rav and Ravin said, that he avoids Malkus by the rapist. Because the whole time, technically, he could always remarry her. That's only good if you hold bitlay vlay bitlay. That he only doesn't get Malkus whether he nullified it or didn't nullify it. Meaning the ability completely. Elaman, the Yomar, according to the opinion that says, kimu vlay kimu, whether he fulfilled it or not, that means, not if he nullified it or not. Not whether he nullified the ability to do it. But even if he says right away, I'm not doing it, he's going to get Malkus. So the question is, Ma'ika Lememe, what are you going to say? Meaning, Rabin and Rav and Rabbi Yechanan before, or Rav and Rabin, said before, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that as long as the guy could technically marry her, Kol Yomov, means all the days of his life, he can always rectify it. That's only good, though, according to the opinion that says you won't get Malkus until you nullify the ability of fulfilling the positive mitzvah. But according to the opinion that says if Bezin tells you to do it and you don't do it, then that guy should get Malkus too. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. But that, the question is, can that be counted as the positive to rectify the negative? The Gemara said before, Kol Yomov, that you're not allowed to divorce all your days, is the positive that's rectifying the negative, right? The Gemara said, but that could only be if you hold, that you'll never get Malkus for the rest of your life as long as you have the opportunity to do the positive mitzvah. Because Kol Yomav means for the rest of your life. Right? But if you hold that anytime there's a positive mitzvah followed by a negative mitzvah, you have to do it right away. And if Bezin says do it, then you don't, you're going to get whipped right away. So then Kol Yomav can be the positive mitzvah to rectify the negative. That's the first question on them. You're interpreting Kol Yomav that he has a chance his entire life to rectify it. That's only good if you hold what's called bitlay vlay bitlay, meaning that you would get Malkus only if you nullify the opportunity to fulfill the positive mitzvah. Moshe, you send away the mother bird, yeah? You didn't. You were supposed to send away the mother bird. In fact, instead you took the eggs. But Torah says, send away the mother bird. Right? Technically, what can you do? Wait for the mother bird to come back and send it away. Right? What happens if you kill the mother bird? You took the eggs, which you weren't allowed to, and then you killed the mother bird. So there's no way to rectify the sin that you did. You can't send away the mother bird anymore. She's dead. Right? So the same thing, the Torah says, the rapist has to marry the girl. He's not allowed to divorce her his whole life. So the Gemara says, that's the positive mitzvah, rectifying the negative mitzvah. But that's only good, the Gemara asks, if you hold what's called bitlay vle bitlay, that you won't get Malkus until you nullify the ability. So as long as he's alive, technically he could, or she's alive, he can technically remarry her. That makes sense. But if you tell me, Lava Nita Glassi, that Malkus. When don't you get Malkus? Only if you fulfill the deposit to mitzvah right away. But if you don't fulfill it right away, you're going to get Malkus anyway. So over there by the rapist, you should also get Malkus. Because he's not remarrying her immediately. And the Gemara is going to explain to him that what?
Wouldn't an order based in both dependency upon immediately?
Yeah, but Bezdin, you think everybody listens to Bezdin? Bezdin could tell the guy, remarry, he says, no, I'm not. We didn't beat him up. I mean,
get him locked up, put him in prison.
Yeah, there's no prison tie. There's no prison cells in Tata. Huh? Yeah, but there's not prison time as a punishment. There's prison time to keep him off the streets. That's only if you murder somebody. Huh? Well, it's called galus. Yeah, but it's a pretty... it's a vacation prison. Country club, yeah. Yeah, they have country club prisons here too, yeah. A lot of people like going there. They have food, clothing.
Yes, there are.
And they have a lot of activities. Yeah. They have food, yeah. Activities. Then if they don't like the food, they strike. The prisoners strike. Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine years ago in Russia, they threw a guy into prison. The guy complained about the food. It would kill him first, then send him to Siberia. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Bierin is saying you don't get Malkus, right? So basically, the Gemara is saying that means Rabbi Yechon, and the Gemara is going to answer that Rabbi Yechon Taka does hold that. But if you hold, either do the mitzvah right now or else you're going to get killed. And Tosfos says even take the dibur. You know, then how could that be? Then the guy should get whipped anyway, the rapist, because he's not remarrying her right away.
Is lashes the only punishment you can get for that, or is there more severe
pain? Only lashes. No death. It wasn't a married woman. If you're a married woman, you get death. It's adultery. But if it's a single girl, you don't get death for a single girl. What? Yes. If that's the only way you can stop him. If you could shoot him in the leg to stop him, you don't have to kill him. The Torah likens, the Torah says, by raping, just like a man murders his friend, that's the same way the rapist is doing to the woman. So that's how we liken murder to raping. You know, that's why if you see somebody raping somebody, you're allowed to kill them. If that's the only way you could stop them. If you could stop them by shooting them in the foot, if they can't go anywhere, then that's the way to do it first. No, it's the halacha. Same thing, if you see somebody killing somebody else, you're allowed to kill him first. But that's only if you can only stop him by killing him. If you can stop him by shooting him in the foot, you have to shoot him in the foot. You're not allowed to kill him. It's no blanket to just kill the guy, you know?
Well, today we make the rapist pay when we catch him. A long period of his life is spent behind bars.
Depends who his lawyer is.
I know.
Or the jury is. What?
What about something like what Pinchas did? Like, if you see, like,
Pinchas was allowed to.
I'm saying in later days, later times, if they saw, like, a Jew and a non-Jew together, would they do something?
Don't try it today.
No, I'm saying
they'll end up in jail.
But would Beis Din be allowed to do something about that?
Technically, yeah, not nowadays. Beis Din doesn't have the koyach today, like. Okay, so the Gemara answers, Mida taima el Rabbi Yechon, you're right. It goes according to Rabbi Yechon. Amel Rabbi Yechon the Tana, but Rabbi Yechon taka said to the Tana, bit lechayiv, that when do you get Malkus? If you have a lav followed by a positive mitzvah, that's only if you nullified the positive mitzvah completely. That means you can't do it anymore. Halei bitle, but if he didn't, batur, if he didn't nullify it completely, he doesn't get malchus as long as he has the ability to do it. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, the rapist is not going to get malchus because for his entire life he still has the ability to remarry her. So he's not going to get malchus. According to the Reish Lakish, which is the arguing opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, the rapist will get malchus because if he's told right away, remarry her, and he doesn't, at that moment he already gets malchus. So he can't say, kol yomav. Look at Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue, the Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan. But the Gemara is going to explain. First, the Gemara is going to see where we see Rabbi Yochanan said, but then the. What? I'm sorry, what? No, he'll get Malchus anyway. Because he was supposed to marry her. And now he can't. Because she's married. Unless he kills the husband too, then he can. Then maybe he has a mitzvah to marry her. But he can't. See, in that case, everybody would say he would get Malchus. Because now it's impossible to do the positive mitzvah. He can't marry her. Yeah. Unless, if you say, well, maybe one day the husband, the new one, will divorce her or die, and then she could remarry the first guy. But he. Oh, you're right. Over here, he married her. You're right. He married her first. The rapist married her. Unless he didn't marry her to begin with. No, what happens if he didn't? But here we're talking, he married her and divorced her, right? What happens if he never married her? So it would be the same love. And then he would technically be able to marry her. Yeah, but you don't get whipped for positive mitzvahs that you don't keep. I mean, two classic examples. You need to do a bris milah on the eighth day. Any day that the baby's healthy, obviously. Okay, not if the baby's sick. Any day the baby's healthy that you don't do a bris, you're transgressing a positive mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen, redeeming the firstborn, has to be done on the 31st day. If you didn't do it on the 31st day, any day following the 31st day that you didn't do Pidyon HaBen, you're transgressing a positive mitzvah. Unless if the Torah doesn't let you. For instance, if the 31st day falls out on Shabbos, right, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. So that's not your fault. So then you do it Saturday night or Sunday. But if you do it on Monday, you transgress a positive mitzvah. Except you don't get punished for a positive mitzvah. What?
What's the proof that you got
witnesses. I mean, they don't have to actually see the raping. They can see the fact that they're alone and whatever.
Rabbi, you know what? We seem to leave out what choice, what selection, what way can the woman who was raped go? I don't think even then women who were raped would go ahead and marry this guy, whether he gets whipped or he doesn't, he turned her good from bad. She got raped. What? I don't care what he is, Moishi. There's plenty of that today. Rich-looking guys that rape, they're caught, they're put behind bars, or they become rapists after a while. But the women, even then, I can't believe the women married somebody who raped them.
Obviously, if the woman didn't want, she didn't have to marry him. But if the woman wanted, he has to marry her. That's all. What?
No.
No. It has to be done the shame kedushin.
So he's
If a guy rapes, God forbid, if a man rapes a woman, she doesn't become his wife because he did kedusha with Bia. It has to be done l'shem kedushin. It has to be done in front of two witnesses, not the actual act, but the yichud has to be done with in front of two witnesses and so on and so forth. It's not considered marriage just because the guy did something to her.
So, afterwards, when he does...
For that matter, in today's world, where boys and girls are living together before they're married, right?
No.
No, on this side of the table, yeah, not on that side. She's not a married girl. Thank God, by the way. Thank God. Because then there would be a lot of mamzerim running around town.
So then afterwards...
If a man lives with a woman, not as husband and wife, just as what's called znus, yeah? So they are not considered married. And therefore, when they break up and the girl decides to finally marry somebody else, she does not need a get from that first guy. If they live together as husband and wife, then you have a question if they need a get, even though they never had a religious ceremony. Then you have a shaila. No. No. In other words, they went always as Mr. and Mrs. They went always around as Mr. and Mrs. And people knew them as husband and wife, but they never had a chuppah. They never had anything, you know. Then they would probably need a get. Especially if they lived in a frum area where people knew them as Mr. and Mrs. Because then people saw them going into the house together as Mr. and Mrs. So then that's very possible you need a get. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you live in a firm area that there's two people that probably saw you go into the house, it's possible. But stam, a man is living with a woman, does not make her a married woman.
So the rapist, after he marries her later,
they wrap that way. Yeah, then they go through a chuppah, the whole process they go through.
You gotta get a girl and get married, and don't worry about
okay.
those things a thousand years ago.
31st day. You're not allowed to do it on the 30th day. If you did it, it's no good. Do it on the 31st day. Yeah. What? There's no punishment for positive mitzvah, except bris milah and karban pesach. And the punishment is only karis. What? And the interesting point is, you know when a guy gets karis? If he dies without a bris. Because like this his whole life, he could still do it. But normally for positive mitzvahs, you don't get punished. Only for negative mitzvahs. And the reason is very simple. In Yiddishkeit, punishment is a cleansing process. You did something wrong. You became spiritually dirty, sort of filthy, right? So now you need to be clean. Like we know, what's Gehenim? Gehenim is basically a massive hot water washing machine. Neshama did a bunch of Avedis, became impurified, impure, filthy, dirty, spiritually, whatever you want to call it. Neshama needs to be cleaned. It goes to this massive washing machine with all their friends. It's called Gehenim. And everybody's enjoying. Huh? Yeah, all our friends are going there. Together with us. What's the problem? Now. Yeah, but we have a Chabad Gehenim. It's different. Chabad Gehenim is air conditioned.
Chabad has a Gehenim.
Chabad Gehenim is air conditioned. One second. Now. So if you eat Chazer, let's say, right? You actively did something wrong. So you basically, through your action, brought impurity upon yourself. So you have to clean yourself. So Bezdin whips you, that cleans you. If somebody doesn't put on tefillin, they didn't bring impurity upon themselves. They didn't do anything. That's why The Gemara says, Lav she'ein bei maisa, a negative commandment that's not, that you didn't do an action, you don't get whipped. If you transgress a negative commandment by not doing an action, you don't get whipped. For instance, to give you an example of this, the Torah says, "Am Pesach you're not allowed to own chametz," right? You know, to see your chametz, you're not allowed to own chametz. What happens if a guy had chametz in his house from before Pesach? He had chametz in the house, and he didn't destroy the chametz before Pesach. Okay, so now on Pesach he owns chametz, right? Did he do anything? He didn't do anything. Yeah, but he didn't do anything. So you don't get whipped. If a guy buys chametz on Pesach, he's going to get whipped because he did an action. So what does it mean according to Chassidus? He did an action. He brought impurity upon himself through the action. So you have to get cleansed. You didn't do an action. You just didn't do anything. You can't get whipped because you didn't bring any impurity upon yourself. So therefore, let's say if somebody doesn't put on tefillin, you're not going to get whipped. If you don't eat matzah and Pesach, you're not going to get whipped. You didn't do anything. If you didn't do anything, what are you getting cleansed for? But, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the Geresh HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe explains, nevertheless, don't learn any leniencies for this. Because by positive mitzvah, tshuva is easier than a negative mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma. Because it's very logical. Because tshuva for positive mitzvah, I didn't do anything. It wasn't that I actively sinned, I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. That's not as bad as going against what I tell you to do. Right? Now, nevertheless, if I don't put on tefillin and I do tshuva, if I don't put on tefillin Monday, okay, Monday morning I don't put on tefillin, but I decide, you know, Monday night I said, you know, I did a terrible sin, I'm going to put on tefillin Tuesday. So I do tshuva, right? I made up my mind, I'm not going to sin anymore. The attachment to God that you could have gotten Monday by tefillin, you're not going to get. So tshuva helps that you didn't listen to God. But basically, the connection that you could have gotten by Monday's tefillin, you're not going to get by putting on tefillin on Tuesday. Because Tuesday, you need Tuesday's day. Right? So, for positive mitzvahs, basically, there is no punishment because you didn't actively impurify yourself in a way that you need punishment. Thinking, you know, age or beauty?
Age before beauty.
Yeah, but this class, beauty comes before age.
Something all of you will be interested in. Hold on a minute. I got a story.
For the positive mitzvahs? No, if you did tshuva, then Yom Kippur forgives the negative commandments, negative avedis. But positive avedis, Yom Kippur is going to... There's two aspects... One second. If I don't put on tefillin, there's two parts of that. One thing is, I didn't listen to God. God said, put on tefillin, and I didn't. For that, you need to do tshuva. Okay? But the second point over here is, I could have gained, and I didn't. That tshuva is not going to help. Tshuva is going to help. God said to me, do something, and I didn't listen. That's going to help tshuva. But tshuva is not going to bring back the revelation, unless the Chassidus explains, there is such a level of tshuva that can get so high, we learned this in the Rebbe's Maimonides, get so high that it could even do what you didn't do. He's not obligated to do it anymore. But he's not obligated anymore. First of all, it's not so simple to leave Eretz Yisrael, by the way, once you live there. Yes, sir, tell us the story.
During World War II, when I was overseas with the Marines in the Pacific combat area, and we were on the island of Guam, we had eliminated all the Japanese. And you all know, Jews aren't allowed to eat pork and ham and bacon and
chasha,
and you got to put your tefillin on, right? Well, for 4 years, my whole time in the Marine Corps, never once did I put on tefillin. Now, number two,
don't be proud of it.
I'm not proud. I'm proud of what the Marines did, though. We wouldn't be here talking about it if it weren't for the Marines. Number two, we had a Protestant minister who was our religious leader.
You told us this already.
I don't think these guys had. I just want to say that he held Catholic services, he held Protestant services, and Jewish services. He told the Catholics, God said, as long as you're in the Marines, you can eat meat on Friday. Catholics are not allowed to eat meat on Friday. It's non-kosher. What's that? Even today. And he told us Jews, we had about 12 Jews in the whole division, 15,000 men. And he told us at the Shabbos service, God said you can eat anything they give you Friday, any day of the week. If we didn't eat the chaza, we would have starved to death. They had bacon and eggs, they had pork chops, they had ham and eggs. What were you going to eat?
Was it Lubavitcher Shechita?
So somewhere along the way, somebody gave me a positive mitzvah. Who? The Rina Rebbe.
Okay, fine.
Thought you'd like to know what a bum I was.
We know.
Let's say a person doesn't put on the tefillin, but he says Kriyat Shema.
It's separate mitzvahs.
I know, but saying Kriyat Shema without tefillin, isn't that like you would check here?
Yeah, but still, you still did the mitzvah of Krishna. It's a separate mitzvah. If somebody doesn't have tefillin, should they say Shema? Of course they have a mitzvah to say Shema. In Shabbos we say Shema without tefillin. So if you have no tefillin, you still have to say Shema. Right, you don't get whipped. Nothing. Nothing. You did an Aveda because the Torah says don't own chametz, and bottom line is you're owning chametz. But, you can't get punished because you didn't do an action. And only an action can get you punishment. In a certain respect, it might even be worse. Because when you get punished, you become rectified. If you don't get, like Halacha says, we talked about before about stealing and returning the stolen object. It's halachically better to steal a penny than a half a penny. Why? Because according to Halacha, any amount you steal, you get the sin of stealing. The mitzvah of returning the stolen object, the Gemara learns out, is only on a pruta, on a penny, let's say, right? That means, if I steal a dollar, then the Torah gave me, like we're learning here in the Gemara, the positive mitzvah to rectify the negative mitzvah, right? So if I stole a dollar, and now I have a positive mitzvah returning what I stole, I give back a dollar, I did the positive mitzvah, which rectifies the negative mitzvah, right? But if I stole a half a cent, stealing I did. I have no mitzvah of returning it. Because the mitzvah of returning the stolen object is only if I steal a penny. But I stole a half a cent, so then I don't have the positive mitzvah to rectify the negative mitzvah I did. So, you know, technically, it's better if you're stealing, steal at least a penny than a half a penny. Because this you could rectify, this you can't. Yes, Yonatan. You don't get punished. They have an obligation, but did they do an action? They didn't do an action. It's a sin. They get a sin, but they don't get punished for it because they didn't do an action. So coming back, what? Because this is the Tzarchem, the ultimate bond with Hashem. sticks. The two bloody mitzvahs stick. Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. Even in Egypt, they gave him those mitzvahs. But even then, the guy has a Pesach Sheni to rectify it. But therefore you have an aloha, the same, it's an interesting argument, an aloha. What happens if a guy intentionally did not bring the first carbon? He just didn't bring it. So now he has Pesach Sheni. What happened? Pesach Sheni, an emergency came up, an accident came up, and he didn't have the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni. Does he now get punished for Pesach Rishon? In other words, when you didn't bring it on Pesach Rishon, already you're punishable. You could just fix it by Pesach Sheni. But bottom line is, did you fix it? No. Nobody's blaming you. An accident happened. The Gemara says, what happens if a guy gives a get to his wife on a condition? He says, this is your get on the condition I don't come back here for 30 days. If I come back within 30 days, it's not a non-get. Okay? The guy wants to come back during the 30 days. He wants to come back. A guy caught him, locked him up in jail, and he's screaming, I'm coming, I want to come. It's not his fault that he can't come. But he wants to come. And he's forced against his will not to come. Yeah? The din is, he gets a valid get. Bottom line, did he show up? No. He's not to blame for not showing up. But you don't say it's considered as if he came. Ain is commander of the loyal minion. You don't say that an accident is considered as if the guy came. He didn't come. He's not punished for not coming. No, he's not punishable. About the story he was telling, in wartime in Europe, the Frum Eden also never had to eat chazer. Yeah? But there was one guy who was eating the chazer during the wartime when they're allowed to eat it. But you know, when kids finish eating ice cream, they go, they get the good to the last drop. So in Yiddish, it's called Fasmakiv in the Lippin. A smack of in the lip, it means you lick it off the lips, you know. So a guy was eating chazer during the war, which he was allowed to eat. He was allowed to eat and make a brach on the chazer. And at the end, the guy was, was good. So a guy said to him, Meli, you have to eat chazer. Okay, you're forced to eat chazer, but you have to enjoy it. You know, the Torah says, save a life, you can eat chazer, but don't enjoy it. You know what I mean? Feel that you have no choice. By the way, that's what Hashem wants. That's exactly what Hashem wants. In Chassidus, there's an expression, you could jump off a roof from a serious nefesh, but you can't jump from the floor up. You can't jump from the ground up to the 10th floor. You could jump off the 10th floor, but you can't jump from the floor up. It's impossible. What does this mean? Serious nefesh for mitzvahs means I have to walk 5 miles to get a pair of tefillin. You know, I have to spend the whole day getting it. That's called Mesiras Nefesh. And that the Torah says you have to do. You know, by certain mitzvahs especially. What happens if the Russians lock you up in Russia for spreading Yiddishkeit, not for gambling? You'd say, it's your fault for gambling. A guy was doing Torah mitzvahs. The Russians came. They lock you up in prison. They take away your tefillin. It's impossible for you to put on tefillin. It's impossible. It's not the pshat, self-sacrifice, go jumping down roofs, and this is like jumping from the floor to the 10th floor. It's impossible. So the question is, obviously, if Hashem puts the person in that predicament, obviously, Hashem doesn't want the person to do the mitzvah. Because Hashem did it. What does Hashem want from the Jew? Hashem wants him, the Jew, say, okay, I can't put on tefillin, dafminish, okay, I won't put on. God wants you to feel bad that you can't put on tefillin. Let's speak a more practical case. Not in California, but you go in, even today in Europe, in Russia, in those cold countries, it's very hard to find a clear sky during the winter to do Kiddush Levana. right? It's a mitzvah to do Kiddush Levana. So, what happens if you live in Russia? Now, a lot of people, Jews living in Russia, and their winter is very, very cloudy. Barely, there's a clear night, and it goes through 14 days. There's no moon. It's not your fault. There is no moon, period. Now, halacha doesn't say you have to take an airplane to fly on top of the clouds to do Kiddush Levana. There is no such obligation. Now, if God makes no moon for 14 days, basically, what is going on? Bottom line, Hashem doesn't want you to do Kiddush Levana. It's God's fault, it's not your fault. Right? He made the clouds. So what does God want? You can have two Jews. You have a Jew that says, okay, listen, God doesn't want it, it's his problem. Okay, that's it. And then you have another Jew, like Rabhilu Padachir, who is the Chodesh, the Tzemach Tzedek, that one time in his times in Russia, there was no Levana, and he wrote a letter to the Tzemach Tzedek and said, either do something about it or else I'm going to die from the fact that I can't do Kiddush, and he meant it. He was the type of guy that would die because he didn't do Kiddush Levana. Right? He could have said, listen, it's not my fault that there's no moon. Hashem doesn't want me to do the mitzvah. Hashem doesn't want. One year in New York, it rained the entire Sukkot. It is 7 days of Sukkot. It rained seven, not 24/7. It rained 7/24. The whole Sukkot was pouring. And the Sukkot, the Rebbe was screaming, you have to fabring every night of Sukkot. So the guys wrote into the Rebbe, I was there that year in New York, the guys wrote into the Rebbe and said, hey Rebbe, you know, I mean, let's be realistic. You want us to fabring in the Sukkot, it's pouring, we can't sit in the Sukkot. It's mamish, not California drizzle. The New York rains, you know, the New York rains, forget it. So the Rebbe answered, a very interesting answer. The fact that Hashem makes it rain shows that Hashem wants you to fabring in the house. The Rebbe wasn't speaking about saying l'chaim. The Rebbe said that Hashem doesn't want you to fabring in the sukkah. He wants you to fabring in the house where it's quieter and warmer. And so what did the guys do? The guys were fabringing in 770. I was there that year. The guys were fabringing in 770. The Mandelfutifas was fabringing. And there was a sukkah right outside the window. So they were inside fabringing. Whenever he wanted to say l'chaim, he stuck his head and the majority of his body out through the window into the sukkah, said his big l'chaim, came back in, continued for bringing the neder l'chaim out the window, you know, to eat in the sukkah, to drink in the sukkah, and then...
That's where you get your comedic ability, isn't it?
Yes.
Why you're such a good stand-up comic.
No, Bob Hope was my teacher.
No.
Beryl Hope.
No.
No, there was one Sukkot. The Sukkot was Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. So then the Rebbe would fabring Friday night, a short fabring, and then Shabbos day he would fabring and give out Keshul Bracha. One time the Rebbe came into the Sukkot Shabbos, it was pouring. Mamish pouring. The Rebbe came into the Sukkot to fabring. He took off his coat. He was wearing his kapot. He took off his coat. He came into the sukkah with his coat. He took off his coat and told all the people around him, take off your coats. The Rebbe fabrenged, gave Keshul Bracha. It was for hours. The Rebbe gave a bracha, nobody should be hurt from it. I was standing there, I was in the sukkah that year as a bachar. Not only did my shirt turn orange from the rain, but I went after the fabreng to change my shirt. In 10 minutes, that fresh shirt was orange. From all the rain that was on my hat, everybody was walking around with orange shirts the next
you
could. Rabbit took off his coat and told other people to take off the coat. Anyway, we'll continue this.